Well, President Cyril Ramaphosa is expected to announce his cabinet this week with a number of significant changes. That's as he plans to merge the departments as a way to cut back on ministries. And as a result, most deputy minister positions are likely to be axed. We're now joined on the line by Daryl Gazer, who is from Wits University, for some analysis on this and what we can expect into the weekend. Daryl, thank you so much for your time. Before we talk about the actual cabinet and the size and your expectations, would you say that the election result has given President Cyril Ramaphosa at least a firm hand or some kind of strategic position that he can navigate through?
It makes no fundamental difference. Essentially, whatever the result was, it would have been contested, it would have been competed over, each side would have taken credit for any gains and blamed the other side for losses. So, already we've seen some people in the Mahashule camp blame Ramaphosa for having decreased the ANC vote as compared to previous elections. So, whereas Ramaphosa camp will say it would have been much worse without him, and that's exactly what you'd have anticipated, both sides would say. I think the factional struggles play out inside the ANC according to a logic of their own, that where the election result simply becomes raw material for interpretation.
From your point of view, what kind of message do you think that the appointment of cabinet and even the deputy president will send in the coming weeks, and what kind of impact will it have on President Cyril Ramaphosa's plan for reform?
Well, I think it's going to be crucial. It's going to provide an indication both of Ramaphosa's commitment to governing with integrity, and also it's going to provide an indication of how strong he is within his own party. Of course, it's going to be difficult as ever to separate those two elements out. So if he fails to appoint a good cabinet, we won't know whether that reflects his weakness or his lack of commitment to the reform project. Certainly everybody's going to be looking to see who he appoints and how large the cabinet is as a sign of the of both of those things, his political strength and his commitment to fighting corruption and governing with integrity. So it's absolutely crucial.
Irrespective of where you turn this week, there were always news articles speculating as to who might be deputy president or who might be in the cabinet, etc. But there were also some surprises this week with some of the controversial names not putting their hand up to want to sign up to be part of parliament. But also, I suppose, the announcement by Deputy President David Mabuza that he would not be sworn in. Taking into consideration all those surprises, what kind of conundrums do you think that the president is dealing with now in order to come up with a really good candidate for deputy president?
Well, I mean, part of the problem is that we're all a bit mystified as to why exactly these things happened. Was it a result of Ramaphosa asserting himself politically? Was it a result of, I've heard speculation about Mabuza's health problems. Some of these people have also got legal problems that they may want to devote more time to. So quite a lot of what happens next depends on why exactly these things happened. It's caught most of us by surprise. I would imagine that Ramaphosa's ideal candidate for the deputy presidency would be someone who both has integrity and has the capacity to unify the party. One can only wonder who that might be.
Right. When it comes to gender diversity and, seeing women more at the top, do you think we might see that? Because some might argue that women have played a role when it comes to being convenient runners, either during campaigning, but they don't stick around much longer, either in the deputy president space.
Well, the ANC is nominally committed to the idea of gender parity in various spheres, and I think they will make an effort to at least have a cabinet that looks reasonably representative of both men and women. But my sense is that that's not going to be the primary consideration here. The internal political divisions in the party are going to be at the center of Ramaphosa's mind, and the rest is secondary.
Right. What would you like to see as somebody who has been, you know, tracking events around the ANC, around, you know, the cabinet and the bloated cabinet? What are some of the changes you would like to see, be it with departments being merged, etc.?
I don't have specific views about which departments I'd like to see merged. I haven't actually been tracking that side of things too closely, but in general, I would like to see a smaller cabinet. Of course, you know, the larger cabinet has served a functional purpose, which is to prevent a larger split in the ANC. So it's efficiency considerations versus the need to dispense patronage to different parts of the party. And I think it'll be a testament to Ramaphosa's strength if he can make the efficiency consideration win out. It'll be a sign that he's going to govern in a more technocratic and professional way.
Daryl, let's leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. That was political analyst at Wits University, Daryl Glaser.